B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, let me bring Graziano into this conversation now as well, our NFL insider extraordinaire. Dan, because a lot of people will perceive this, the move of Brady, the move of Gronkowski, as a repudiation of Bill Belichick and the Patriot way. Is that a reasonable way to look at this?
No, I don't think it is. I think we can look at a situation and say that these two great players got to a point where they were maybe exhausted by the Patriot way. But I would caution against viewing it as some sort of apocalyptic repudiation of the Patriots system. Tom Brady played there for 20 years. Rob Gronkowski played there for 9 years. I mean, if you can endure that long, it can't be all that bad. I think both of these guys got to a point where they wanted to try something else. Rob Gronkowski got to the point where the something else was retirement and WWE and all the stuff he's been doing over the past year. Tom Brady got to the point where it was play football for a different team. You've seen other players come and go through there in shorter periods of time. You've seen other players last a long time and do a lot of winning there. And certainly we cannot look at what Bill Belichick and the Patriots have done over the past two decades and think there's something fundamentally wrong with it when they've done all this winning. I do wonder, looking forward, if this seeps into the reputation a little bit and increases Belichick's challenge in terms of being able to recruit people to come there. But I wouldn't bet against him, and I think it's important to underline that this isn't a couple of great players that were there for just their rookie contracts and decided they needed to get out.
Welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati, Wednesday, April 22nd, the day after. Rob Gronkowski comes out of retirement and is traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dan Graziano on ESPN today with the question of the day to Maz and Murray on remote. I come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester in the A-hole chair. Is Gronkowski leaving and joining Tom Brady in Tampa a reflection, a repudiation of the Patriot way and Bill Belichick? Maz, you first.
So overall, I say no, because ultimately I agree with Graziano. Brady spent 20 years here. So it's hard to look at Bill and say, yes, the assistant doesn't work, when it took 20 years and he won 6 Super Bowls and has been to 9. So I think that is a little excessive. Now, does that mean that Bill's system is perfect and that the way he does it couldn't use a little tweak here or there? No, it doesn't mean that either. So look, at the end of the day, I just can't indict Belichick's whole system based on the fact that two guys who were here for a combined 30 years decided that they'd had enough.
Okay,
I mean,
fine.
To me, that's a big standard.
So indict is, what if I change the word there? Is it a reflection? Are Brady and Gronkowski in Tampa a result of Bill Belichick?
Yes.
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 Yes. 100% Murray, right?
Yeah. I think the anti-Belichick sentiment is so strong from certain players, the two greatest players at their position in franchise history and the greatest quarterback of all time. It's so strong that they'd rather retire than play for, because granted the market for Brady was not strong, but if he wasn't really happy with the offer that Tampa gave to him, he retires. He's not going to come back here, especially for a crap contract and short money.
So it absolutely 100% reflects on Bill Belichick. Belichick is responsible for those players being in Tampa. It is because of Belichick. It is totally a reflection of Belichick. The Palace Q was right. The Palace Q was true. And wasn't just players rebelling against Bill Belichick. The two most important players in the history of the franchise were on that list. And they are gone because of Bill Belichick. I would love to argue that with you if you want to argue it, but to me, I feel like that is just a fact. That is just the fact of the matter. They are gone because of Belichick. To me, the second issue is closer to the bone, meaning we have more of a debate. The second issue is it the right thing or the wrong thing? I think it's totally a reflection on Bill. It's totally a result of Bill. I think it's the right thing. I think it's the right thing, and I think it speaks more ill of the players than it does of Bill. But make no mistake, there's a cause and effect. The cause is Bill, and the effect is those players in Tampa. Now, the question is that a good thing or a bad thing? I happen to think it's a good thing. I happen to think it's a good thing, and as I'll explain in a little bit, I think this should have happened a couple of years ago, in fact. But it's if you try and explain any other thing other than Bill Belichick, I'd love to argue with you. 617-779-0985. But the question is, Maz, is it a good thing or a bad thing that Bill's here and those guys are gone?
Well, so look, if you put it in those terms, to me it's a good thing. I'd rather be where they are now with Bill than with Gronk and with Brady. But I also think that, you know, we can say that at this stage of their careers, and not that they would have bailed out necessarily in the middle, because they both obviously stayed here for a long period of time. It's just, it's easy to say now when Brady is going to be 43 and Gronk has had the crap kicked out of him for 10 years and hasn't played in a year. You know, to me, the question is, look, is Bill Belichick's method worth it? And the answer is yes. But, you know, I think the big thing for him more than anything else, and I hate to bring this all back to Brady, Brady bought in and was willing to put up with it. And I think Brady and Gronk to me is a cause and effect. I think once Brady's faith in Bill's method started to wane, that it affected other people.
Right. And I think so even better than he's gone. Because I think the last couple of years, Maz, there wasn't buy-in from those guys.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And this is my concern, though, about Bill going forward. Okay, I'm trying to say that there's also a negative here for Bill, is that he had the buy-in of the greatest player in the history of the league, not to mention the greatest tight end in the history of the league. What's it going to look like without the full buy-in from Brady? That is the one thing that worries me about this going forward.
Murray?
I think it's bad because I think it's bad for the Crafts and the Patriots as a franchise's bottom line, because people tune in or come to the stadium because of the players, not the coach, and I don't care about the legacy. You don't take your kid to a game and say, oh, look, son, look how coached up that no-name special teams player is. Yay! Ooh, what a lesson you just learned there. No, you go because of the stars, and the stars are the reason that you won. Brady and Gronk. That's why people tune in. You help push them out. So it's like I said yesterday, if they take on any kind of a hit in the TV ratings, financially, public opinion, clock's ticking. I'm now looking at Bill. You have 2 years. And if you suck, it's sub 500 this year and next, you're out.
Absolutely, the clock's ticking on Bill. Absolutely. And we've been on this for a week. Hit on it yesterday again. The way he carries himself, doesn't make many friends in the building, not an easy guy to work with, makes a ton of money. He's not going to get the rope that other legendary coaches would. He's not going to get the run that Landry got or Shula got or these guys at the end that were playing out the string. He's not. If he has two bad years, I'd be surprised if Jonathan Kraft, Robert Kraft gave him a third. Okay, so I agree with you on that, Murray. But you're wrong about one thing. The fans don't come to see players. I mean, they do, but that's not the first thing on the list they come to see. They come to see winning. They come to see winning, Murray. And if Belichick wins his way, if he wins without Brady and Gronkowski, they're fine, whether they have stars or not. When they first started winning in the early part of the decade, early part of last decade, I should say, the early part of the run, they weren't a star-laden team. I mean, those guys became stars, and we look back at them. But at the time, it was a no-name team. It was a no-name team, and they captured imagination. It became a football town, you know, basically within 5 years, it was a football town, and they weren't stars, and that's not why people come. People come if you win, win.
But it turns out he had the quarterback. You don't win a Super Bowl and you don't win without a mediocre or even good quarterback. And he lucked into Brady. So we'll see. And this is what's going to make this thing so interesting.
Okay, but it comes down to the winning. It doesn't come down to the stars. And the people who keep calling, and I guess, Murray, you're on the list, like, well, let's see what it looks like now without Brady. If they win, it's going to look like a powerhouse NFL franchise in every other city where the football team is relevant. It'll be the driver in the city. It'll be the market leader in the city. It will be the heart and soul of the city. It'll be the heartbeat of the city if the football team is representative, whether they have Tom Brady or Harry Schmedlap as their quarterback, as long as they're winning. And that's what draws fans. That's what draws revenue. That's what draws market share. A winning NFL team, not necessarily stars. So you could have a star-laden team. You could be the Cleveland Browns. You could be the Cleveland Browns and have stars all over the place and have no idea what to do with them and not win and go 5-11 or whatever. What good is that? You know, give me a team that wins without stars any day of the week versus that team with stars that can't quite figure it out. Now, the idea, obviously, is to have both. But that's kind of hard. Like, there's usually a give and take with that. There usually is. And I think you just saw it with the Patriots, Maz. There was sort of a give and take. The stars here outgrew the system, and you know that, and I think I'm being polite there. You know, they got a little soft, is another way to put it.
Spoiled.
You know, Brady and Gronk got a little spoiled, a little diva-ish, a little selfish, a little more concerned about their brand and their off-field crap than winning on the field. Now, that's a harder way to look at it. Another way to look, if I'm being kind, I'm going to say they outgrew it. But either way, it's not about the stars. It's about winning. So let's see if Bill can win this way. That's what it's about. Look,
yeah, ultimately, I believe that it is about winning, okay? And if you win, you'll have stars. I mean, there are going to be people that make big plays. It's inevitable. It's not like you can have a team and not have performances stand out, because that they will. So my only concern is whether Bill takes it too far. That's all. I just think in Bill's mind, the perfect team somehow would be a bunch of fourth and fifth round picks, some guys that he pulled as undrafted free agents. They all do their jobs and they win, and there's nobody there to take the credit. Like, sometimes I think he goes to that extreme. So, now Brady and Gronk obviously reached a point where they went to the opposite extreme, and I think the right answer is somewhere in the middle. But I think we can say without hesitation that, especially now, we've been saying it anyway, it didn't work anymore, because Bill's philosophy and the mentality of his two best players were on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Philosophically, they were not in alignment anymore.
Brady and Gronk being in Tampa is a total reflection of Bill Belichick. The question is whether Bill's right or he's wrong, and whether you'd rather have Bill still here as the guy in charge to take you into the next iteration of your team, or you would rather have had Gronkowski and Brady playing to the end as Patriots, and maybe you don't have Bill, or Bill doesn't have the full flexibility he would have to turn it around. I think this should have happened a couple of years ago. And that's in hindsight, and I'm not going to rip the team for it, because it's a tough call. It would have been a really hard call to walk away from Brady 2 years ago when they were going to Super Bowls and he was winning MVPs. I've never blamed the team for that. That's an exceptionally hard call. But I would have. And it's not just because I'm not a Patriots fan. I'd say the same thing about my team. I think the last championship or two, but certainly the last one, was superfluous. Meaning, you've already proven you're the best team, the best coach, the best quarterback. That sixth championship, was that worth the hole you're in now? Because if Bill had his way, you have Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback. You have a first-round pick for Gronkowski. And if he really had full power and really had a set of nuts, you may have maybe have a first or a couple first-round picks for Tom Brady, and you'd already be on your way to the next thing. But you'd be stuck at 5 championships and 8 Super Bowl appearances. Just only the 5 titles and the 8 Super Bowls. But you'd be on your way to the next thing. Now you have 6-9, 6 titles, 9 appearances, and you're sort of at a restart. And there's no real path there. If it's my team, I'm giving up that last title and the last couple Super Bowl appearances for a real runway into the next thing. And I know people feel there's no right answer there. It's what you value. But if Bill had his way, this thing happened 2 years ago. He called it on Brady. He called it on Gronkowski. They were outgrowing him, and he knew it. And they were getting to a certain age with certain contract demands and a certain worldview that did not line up, and he knew it was coming, and he wanted to make the transition a couple of years ago. Now, would it cost him if he had made that transition 2 years ago, 2 Super Bowl appearances and 1 title? Sure, I'll give it to you. Yep. Mm-hmm. But now you'd be.
I mean, you know how I feel on this one. I felt this a long time ago, and I'm not saying you didn't. I know you were. I just thought, if you're going to be as cold and calculating as the Patriots have been, you don't get to the most important position on the field and change your philosophy.
You'd be 2 to 3 years in with Garoppolo. You'd have all those picks. Your books would be pretty clean.
Yep.
And you'd be on your way.
And you'd have one less title. You don't trade titles for anything.
Well, let's see. Let's see, Murray. Let's see.
That's Garoppolo. How'd he do on the biggest stage?
He didn't have Bill as his coach.
Yeah. Ooh, because that's going to matter.
Let's see, Murray. Your reaction, we continue. Day 2, 617-779-0985. To you right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
They thought Rob Gronkowski, their tight end, was coming back. We saw practice on Friday, and he was not only active. This guy was an animal during practice.
Well, you talk to all these players. You talk to Tom Brady, and he says he's the best player on the practice field. You know, he's out there. He's doing things. He's catching the football. He's physical. He's not just going through the motions in practice, and they're as befuddled as anybody that when they show up to the games on Sunday, Rob Gronkowski's not playing.
I'm good to go. I'll be playing. Super pumped, super excited, and just preparing for the game.
I mean, I'm glad that Rob's optimistic about his situation. I mean, with all due respect to Rob, I'm glad, you know, he, I guess, feels the way he does.
I'm just week to week, and when I'm 100% feeling good, cleared by all the doctors, the team, that's when I'll be back.
Why the team decided to put out a statement last night about Rob in conjunction
with... Just trying to do everything we can to help you out. We did what we did.
Well, you think about 2 weeks ago, it was a Sunday night game in Denver. It looked like he'd be out for the rest of his career, the way he was writhing in agony.
It's Rob here.
All of our players are, they're doing other things.
I was just doing other things, as Coach said.
We also don't see Rob Gronkowski yet. At this point, Bill Belichick told me that's something that they're used to and they're just going to have to adjust.
Touchdown! Yeah! Rob Gronkowski!
In
his second
face!
Of the day!
In your face!
That was not planned or anything, and we got yelled at. We're not allowed to talk about celebrations. That's what we got told, but I kind of want to talk about it. But I kind of don't, because I'll get in trouble. So I don't know what to do. So it just happened on the spot. It wasn't planned. We'll just keep it there.
He didn't enjoy himself in 2017. This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it.
Rob, what's your status for the football season? Are you playing with the Patriots this year?
Status is doing really great. I can vroom, vroom really good.
Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski will face the Lions tonight. He easily could have been playing for them instead. The Patriots and Lions were deep into trade discussions last offseason that peaked in the week of the draft when the two sides nearly completed a blockbuster trade for the tight end. When Gronkowski discovered he could be traded to Detroit that week, threatened to retire, met with the Patriots, wouldn't return the Lions' calls. The Patriots and Gronk were able to set up a happily ever after because they gave him the contract he wanted. He could have been a Lion if he wanted. He'd rather stay in New England.
Yeah, it happened. Brady's my quarterback. That's all. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
If Belichick was to be compared to something, what are you comparing Belichick to?
Oh, man. The Grinch.
There's a little recap, courtesy of Jimmy Stewart. The Rob Gronkowski chapter of the Palace Q is now complete. Long time brewing, Maz. From all the injury stuff, we forget about that. All the back and forth they had over injuries earlier on in his career, remember that?
Of course.
With the joint press releases between the team and the Gronkowski family, like unprecedented there. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? The team thinks he's ready. The family's holding him back. The montage started with Troy Aikman during that game saying, we were at practice on Friday. He was all over the place. He's an animal. They thought he was going to play. He's not on the field. You know, that whole back and forth to the, you know, we played you a little Curran cut in there. Curran in, you know, February 2018, okay? So this goes back to what he's going to be talking about is the beginning of the 2017 training camp. Rob Gronkowski was talking about walking out. Here's Tom Curran over 2 years ago.
It does defy explanation to a degree until you start kicking over some rocks and talking to some people and trying to get, you know, your fingers on the pulse of it. And I've done that quite a bit. And he didn't enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time, despite the fact his body was in a better situation than it's been in a long time, ever maybe, despite the fact that he is one of the most dominant players at any skill position. Starting to wear on him, physically, mentally, the atmosphere here in New England.
Just to clarify really quick, so when you say in 2017, so a lot of people look at that, the concussion that he suffered in the AFC Championship, and said maybe that's what scared him. Was this going on before that?
Yes.
Okay.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads, and he was, he was pissed. And the season played out, and by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
And they never really did. 2 years later, he's gone. It was a long time coming, Mass.
Oh, absolutely. Again, this has been there for a long, long time. If anyone's been paying attention with Gronk, it has been more palpable or more apparent than it has been with Brady. So with Brady, I think just Brady did a little better job of hiding it, at least until the end. I mean, we know what the last season was like with Brady. But with Gronk, I think we've known for a long time he didn't like it. And Mike, now that as we discuss it, I don't know, I wonder, maybe Gronk infected Brady. And, I said that once they lost Brady's buy-in, I think that was sort of the end of it. But I'm wondering if Gronk was the first to say, this sucks, and said, Tom, how do you put up with this?
So there's question they're gone because of Bill. The question is whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I promise your reaction. Here it is. Pat in Paxton. Go ahead, Pat. Pat!
Yeah.
Okay, you got to be ready to go. We're taking calls. A lot of you are lined up, so please just be ready to go and be quick. Justin in Attleboro, go.
So I'm so happy that you guys are finally putting this on Bill. You have two superstars when it comes down to it, and the Bill system may not be working all that right anymore. And the other thing is, the way they both went out, they went out with respect. They didn't throw Bill under the bus. They just went out their own way.
I think
that's the right thing to do.
I mean, so they said the right things, or they're going to say the right things. Big deal. Like, I don't care about the PR part of it. Of course it's on Bill, but... So what? You want them to kowtow to superstars? You want them to So wait a minute. I mean, do you think this is good business? Do you think this is a good way to run a team? To pay a 43-year-old guy $25 million guaranteed over 2 years, a guy who really feels more interested in his business than he does the team, who hasn't shown up in the offseason, who has to take days off during the week because he's getting banged up, or a tight end who is really more concerned about doing tequila shots off someone's nipples than he is about, you want 5 years, $50 million for that guy? Like, is that how you want them to run the team? Is that what you want them to do?
Well, who gives you a better chance to actually win a title? I think it's those two players.
For 1 year or the next five?
1 year. I care. Again, it's, F the future. If both of them are coming back, it's about this year and winning another title. And once that became evident that that wasn't going to happen as of last year as it played out, then I get, I was for them going their separate ways. But if they could have had those two back and Belichick instead had to go, I would go with having those two back instead of Belichick. They give you a better chance of winning.
This idea, because what the caller said, I'm glad to see you guys are finally putting this on Bill. I'm not putting it all on anybody, so I don't want words put in my mouth. Bill's a pain in the ass. Brady and Gronk acted like children at the end, if you ask me. So now you force me to pick a side. I'll say ultimately, I think the players changed more than the coach did. Okay, so, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's like one is to blame more than the other. This notion that somehow, this all belongs on Bill, and I'm not saying he doesn't deserve his share, but the idea that it all belongs on Bill, to me, it's driving me bananas.
Well, I mean, but it is. I mean, it's the personal breakup between those two.
Okay, but Mike, but again, all my point is this. Bill's been the same guy for 20 years. He's been the same guy for 20 years. So what is it about now that has changed?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea that the only other thing I'll add, because look, he's a pain in the ass. There's no question they looked at him and said, see you later, we're done, we're out of here. It also took him 20 years in the case of Brady to get to that point. And now, is Bill right? I mean, I know this. I'd rather have the coach than the quarterback and the tight end at this point. But if Bill doesn't win without these two guys, he's going to look like a jackass.
So, and Murray and the rest, I don't flippantly say, oh, yeah, I'd give up that last championship. I mean, I don't arrive at that easily. It is all about championships, Murray, for sure. Unless it's your sixth or your seventh. At that point, I really am more concerned about extending the thing than getting six or seven. You know, if I'm the Tennessee Titans, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, if I'm like, you know, 80% of the league, I've got to get that Super Bowl, and it's all about that championship. But if I'm UCLA at the end, and I'm the Patriots here at the end, or I'm the Niners at the end of the 80s, or I'm the Celtics at the end of the 60s, I don't know. At that point, it becomes about how do I avoid falling off the cliff and getting another decade out of the thing? And if I have to sacrifice the sixth, you know, stop at five to get a better reset, or stop at eight to get a better reset, stop at seven to get a better reset. I do. That last championship when you've already established yourself as the best. And again, because we lived it, I don't know. Was that last championship all that great?
Yes. Yeah, again, it's all about the championships. And I'm greedy. I'm a greedy pig. I want more. Seven, eight.
You were mostly miserable through that year. It wasn't that great of a year.
Postseason was fun.
They sort of backed into it. I don't know. I'll go back and look at the ratings. I don't think the ratings were even that good. I think the numbers sort of went down. I think by that point, and I'm not telling you like, I don't arrive at this easily. I'm just saying it's your sixth after you've established it over two decades. You really, that sixth or the seventh means more than having a much better chance at a next decade? Like, I just disagree with that. But, you know, there's no right answer there. It's just how you sort of personally feel about it. I personally would have sacrificed that last one if that's what it took. So we're going to do this for the most of the day. But we do have the final big board selection to make today. And it's a big one. It's a big one.
Quarterbacks
are on the board. Okay, we're going to pick three of them, and we're going to spread it out. We're going to pick one per segment. We'll do it over the course of the day. We'll do the first one coming up next. We're going to start at the bottom. We have three. We usually do the three pages, right? First page, second page, third page, you know, top tier, middle tier, crappy tier. We're going to start with the crappy tier, get that out of the way. And then at 3:30 and then at 4:30, pick the second tier and then the first tier. And those are the three quarterbacks on the Felger and Maz big board. The last time they went in for a franchise quarterback, we nailed it. We threw for the quarterbacks in 2014 and came up with Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'd pay attention to what we do here in these next couple of segments. We will throw for our first quarterback coming up next after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it's an interesting group of quarterbacks, and it's an interesting decision to see what the Patriots are going to do with that group of quarterbacks, because I think everybody expects them to draft a quarterback at some point in the draft. When they think about a Cody Kessler leaving two quarterbacks on the roster at this point in time, last year's rookie Jarrett Stidham and the veteran Brian Hoyer, that was an advertisement to everybody, Randy, that the Patriots are going to draft a quarterback at some point. It's just a question where their interests and their desires match up with the value of a player in a particular round. Now, they don't have a second-round draft pick, so the soonest it could happen would be round one, then again in round three, but they're master manipulators of moving around the draft board to going to get the quarterback or player that they want wherever it may be. They haven't been in this position in quite some time. They did draft Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round. They could go quarterback anywhere in this draft, but I think everybody around the league believes at some point in time that the Patriots are going to make a move at the quarterback position.
Okay, when's it coming? Late, middle, early? We'll give you three options on the Felger Maz big board. Maz back at his palatial estate will be doing the firing because the last time we needed a quarterback, he shot for Garoppolo and got his paisan. So we're going to do it again. We're going to start with the crappy, then go middle at 3 o'clock or 3:30, and then shoot for the top of the board at 4:30. So let's get the crap out of the way, Maz. What do we got? Do we have a multi-camera shoot here? And again, the Felger Maz big board is presented by our friends at Peterson School. Complete coverage of draft week on Felger Maz is presented in part by the Peterson School. Visit petersonschool.com for their online learning opportunities. Yes, Maz, what do we got?
Okay, so here you go on the board. You see in the top left there, 235. Those are the scrubs. We're going to get to your scrub first at 335. We're going to move up a class. That, in all probability, are going to be the mid-rounders. We'll throw at that group, which includes my guy Jake Fromm from Georgia. And then in the bottom right, the top three quarterbacks in the draft, minus Burrow. Joe Burrow is not in that group. We know he's going number one.
Good job.
Patriots have no chance at him. So in that group, you have Hebert. You have Tua, and you have Jordan Love. Those are the other three guys projected to go in the first round. And so we'll throw to those guys later. But 235 is the group on the left, and it is largely a bucket of crap.
Okay, and so there's no guarantee I'll have a write-up on one of these guys. We're going so deep. I may not have a write-up readily at hand, so we'll have to adjust. Mari, do you have a quick thought?
Well, yeah, it didn't even look like there's any of those write-ups for the guys listed at 235. Everywhere else, there's like a paragraph. This is just like a printout of names.
Well, so, Murray, the reason I pulled that from the web, I didn't pull it from the draft magazine because I didn't have enough names otherwise. So I'm going to aim for the top part of that list and see what we come up with. But it was the only way to get multiple people on the board.
Good luck. Go.
Okay, here we go. All right, hold on. I'll tell you who that is.
Looks about fourth down.
Let's start Googling, Murray. Let's get ready. Hello.
Did we
lose you?
What happened to Maz?
He's
just ambling to and from the board.
That is right on the line, but that is Tyler Huntley of Utah.
Okay. And you're saying there's no write-ups of these guys in my magazine, so don't even bother looking.
Well, I don't know if he was in there specifically, but most of those guys were not in your list. A couple of them were. That included the, remember the guy we talked about, James Morgan from Florida International?
Yes.
Yeah. Who was, so he is the best of the rest, so to speak, on that list. But the guy we got is the quarterback at Utah.
Okay, so I'm Googling Tyler Huntley Utah scouting report.
Right, I can't find anything either.
Okay, stand by. Okay, this is according to something called the Draft Wire. 6'1", 205 strengths.
He's a little guy.
Okay, 6'1", 205 senior out of Utah. Strengths. Immediately what comes to mind with Huntley is his ability to escape the pocket when he sees trouble. Not just a tuck and run guy, but he can extend plays with his legs and zip the ball downfield to the receiver. While he keeps his eyes downfield, Huntley is well aware of where the markers are and will run. His footwork allows him to beat the defense with a variation of jukes. He does it well inside the pocket as well to give him time to find his read. His poise in the pocket is definitely a plus on the checklist. Also in the strength category, Huntley has more than just an adequate arm. He shows good velocity on deep throws, especially off play action. Shows a good ball fake that linebackers will bite on before ripping it downfield. Never really a question of his velocity. He just needs to make sure he doesn't attempt too many off his back foot. Okay. Weaknesses. The biggest question on Huntley stemmed from his mechanics. His arm has plenty of juice when throwing the ball downfield, but he needs to work on getting his feet set in the pocket. When his process is accelerated, can get sloppy with throwing off his back foot or not resetting the pocket. A lot of his accuracy issues would likely get better with proper mechanics, but it is still a relative unknown with how much it will help his deep ball accuracy. He tends to sail some intermediate throws with a muddy pocket.
This guy sucks.
This guy blows.
Future insurance.
Seriously.
According to the magazines that we have, he ain't even going to be drafted. But he does come up, he is projected here in this DraftWire online site as a day three consideration. So that's exactly what we were looking for in this round. That, you know, late round flyer, here's your guy.
Well, if you care, the dart landed basically on the line between him and the kid in Virginia. So I will just tell you that. If you want the specific name, I can get you that one too.
No. That's it. The board knows.
He apparently didn't even get an invite to the combine.
Whoops. Put him on the board. There's your first quarterback selection. Back to your Gronkowski reaction right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I understand. I feel that love. But I want to be clear to my fans. I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down. And I didn't like it. And I was losing that joy in life. Like, the joy. I'm sorry right now, but, oh, dang, let me, oh. I really was, and I was fighting through it. And I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through. And I knew I just have to fix myself.
What has changed emotionally with Gronk over the last couple of months, Drew?
Well, I think the break was very good for Rob. Rob gave football everything he had. He fought through a lot of injuries. He's had about a dozen surgeries in his career. He's been an absolute warrior. He's fought through a lot of pain. He plays a very physical position. He gets hit hard all the time. He really needed a break, physically and mentally. He fought hard. The year they won the Super Bowl, he played injured pretty much the entire season. He was never truly himself. He's a team player. This time off really reinvigorated him physically. He tells me he feels fantastic, the best he's ever felt. His weight's back up to 260. He passed his physical with flying colors today. He's just really excited about playing football again. And being in Florida is exciting for him. Playing with Tom Brady, obviously, is huge. Rob has a residence in Florida. He's got family in Florida. And it'll be nice to be in the warm weather and play on natural grass. It's going to be a lot of fun for Rob to switch gears and be in the Tampa Bay environment.
Drew Rosenhaus, Gronkowski's agent, on last night on ESPN. It's a good question. Boy, so emotional last August. Game's bringing him down. Sniff, sniff. And Drew says he just needed a break from football. Did he need a break from football, Maz, or a break from Bill Belichick?
He needed a break from Belichick. That's what he needed, a break from Belichick. And again, to me, one of the critical things in this whole thing is the assertion, and I'm going back to that, to what Karen Gregan in the Herald wrote yesterday, that Gronk was going to play again if Brady left New England. So the point is, the way Rosenhaus says it makes it sound like Gronk was going to play this year no matter what. And I don't believe that. I believe that if Brady had stayed in New England, Gronk wasn't coming back.
Karen writes in the Boston Herald, per a source with knowledge of the situation, the all-world tight end has imagined this scenario of reuniting with Brady for quite a while. This was not a spur-of-the-moment decision to request a trade. If Brady ever left, Gronkowski was going to join him wherever he landed. That was always the plan, according to the source. As the story goes, Gronk wanted in on Brady's new team, and the only person standing in the way of that happening was Bill Belichick. Gronkowski basically had Bill over a barrel. If Belichick traded him someplace else, Gronkowski made it known he would stay retired. Returning to the Patriots was not an option. The fun-loving Gronk had his fill of the hoodie. He wanted a change. Even with the litany of devastating injuries he endured during his 9 seasons with the Patriots and now being pain-free for one of the few times in his adult life, Gronkowski still felt the only tug to play football, but only on his terms, and that meant with Brady and without Belichick. So the emotion of that thing last August to where he is now makes you wonder about just how genuine that emotion was last August.
Yeah, and what he needed to change was the first sentence of what we heard there. It wasn't football bringing me down. It was Bill was bringing me down, and I didn't like him.
Okay, so I promise your phones, but we have some breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Who wants to read it? Because I don't have it in front of me.
I'll
Jimmy,
do it.
Okay.
Ken Rosenthal, along with Evan Drellick, have the Red Sox punishment. It is a loss of a 2020 second-round draft pick, the ban of replay operator JT Watkins through the 2020 playoffs and in 2021, and the ban of manager Alex Cora through the 2020 playoffs, but only for conduct with the Houston Astros.
So, okay. And so the report's coming out. We're going to read about what they were doing. Like, they had the Astros report, I assume. Is it out?
I haven't seen it yet. I just saw the story with Drellick and the tweet from Ken Rosenthal.
Okay, Drellick and Rosenthal say, I'm sorry, Murray, Stu, a second-round pick next year.
2020 second-round pick.
And the video operator is suspended.
Yep.
Big deal. And Cora remains suspended through this year, but only for conduct with the Astros, not with the Red Sox. Maz, you have a quick thought?
Well, so look, I think, you know, good news for the Red Sox as it pertains to Cora. There isn't any additional punishment, nothing tacked on there. And again, remember that earlier this spring, or maybe, you know, late in the winter, Buster Olney of ESPN reported that if the season gets wiped out, the suspensions for A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow in Houston would be considered served. So they would be able to return to baseball in 2021. I think this basically now means, at least the way I interpret it, that Alex Cora can be back in the game in 2021, whether a season is played or not. The second round pick is not totally insignificant. I mean, it's a high pick. It's not a first rounder, though. So they did get hit there. My guess is that that is primarily as a result of their second offense. I mean, because it sounds like the thing is really minimal otherwise. I mean, all they're doing is banning the video operator, forbidding him from coming back to do the job in 2021, which means, again, the way I read it, he can come back to the organization. He just can't do that job anymore. And, you know, so to me, the second offense is probably what cost him the second round pick.
Okay. Buried nice and neat the day before the NFL draft.
Yep.
Where it's going to be ignored by us the rest of the day and pretty much everyone else, unless you want to weigh in on it. Back to your phones on Gronkowski. Go ahead, Tom and Hingham.
Hey, yeah, I think you guys got the perspective of this all wrong. Basically, the fact that Gronk's going to Tampa and Brady wanted him, that means Brady needed a spinky. You know, I mean, no longer is this Belichick versus Brady. Now it's going to be, you know, you're going to always have the question of, well, if Brady does well, what's because Gronk? He had Gronk. And that's one of the things I think you guys miss is that, you know, Brady likes to bitch about not, you know, having good receivers and stuff. But, you know, if you have bad receivers and you're the greatest of all time, you should be able to still do really well.
So I don't feel that way, Tom. Tom, I'm just going to let you go. I see your point that Brady needs his binky. He needs Gronkowski to be successful. Dude, he was drafted in 2010. Brady had won three championships by 2010. Had he won an MVP by then? I mean, I don't know. He seems like Brady accomplished quite a bit before Rob Gronkowski got here. I don't feel that way about Brady.
No, it's just that's an oversimplification. Like, what, Brady can't succeed now without Gronk? He's got plenty of weapons. This will help him. I think there's a comfort there with Gronk, certainly in critical situations. And we all know Gronk's not the same player, Mike. In fact, I was thinking about this today. You know what I would equate this to for Brady? And again, it's a little different because they're not the same position. I think Gronk can be for him down there sort of what Amendola was up here. I don't think this
just
is
when he needs
be...
it. Money on the table. Who does he look for?
Exactly. And Rex Ryan said third down red zone this morning on Get Up. And as I was listening to Rex, I said, you know, that's basically what Amendola was, although not as much in the red zone. But when you get into those third and eights and some, you got to have it. Gronk will be on the field, and that's where he'll help.
Jay and Brewster, your thoughts. Hello, Jay.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the draft tomorrow. Can I just tell you how much of a mess this is going to be? When we get to hear Goodell talk about the Patriots trading down, and all you can hear in the background is Andy Reid eating his freaking cheesecake.
I'll tell you what, Jay. I hate this reliance on Zoom and the internet connections. Like, Gronkowski's doing his press conference today with the Buccaneers, right? And it's on effing Zoom. So you're inviting some sort of technical issue on his end, their end, a laggy internet, it's going to happen. It's like, can you just put him on a conference call on a landline for crying out loud? And I sort of feel your frustration. And the draft, you know, maybe the same thing. Why the need with the multiple boxes and the multiple Wi-Fi? The more Wi-Fi connections and the more internet connections you're asking for, the more trouble you're asking for. Get on an effing landline, put them on a conference call, and let's grab the sound of Gronkowski. But nope, it's going to be Zoom, and he's going to be dinking around there with him and Camilla, you know, shaking his ass in front of his camera screen, and like it's going to get laggy and wonky, and it's going to suck. And I feel like the draft's the same way. God, I can't stand it. Get on the phone. Get on the phone and do a landline conference call like a normal human being. God.
It just sounds like it's going to be such a cluster, and I can't wait. I didn't even think about that part, too. So just never mind, like, laggy internet and things of that nature. People not remembering to hit mute, so they mute out their speaker seal.
Painful.
Here, Andy Reid, like, ripping farts in the background. I'll be great.
No, mute it. Star 6 and no, mute it. And then, you always hear with these Zoom things, people always, like, you know, futzing around in the background. Like, sound in the background. Like, there's always someone just... Like, turn your freaking computer off, jackass. Or here's an idea. Just get off the internet and get on the phone. Like, I get so frustrated with the thing. You watch any of that Bruins thing last night where they were, you know, like there was 20 of them on this Zoom watching the Stanley Cup game. And it was a cool idea, and there was some good stuff on there. All you heard, though, is everyone's individual thing, like click. Yeah, what do you think of that, Tukes? Oh, it's just like, God, I can't stand the thing. Drives me freaking nuts, as you could tell.
If I'm Andy Reid, by the way, I am pounding the Tex-Mex egg rolls. That's what I am pounding throughout the whole draft.
I'm glad I got that off my chest. Back to your reaction, Gronkowski to Tampa Bay. Does that reflect on Bill? Of course that reflects on Bill. Of course that reflects on Bill. Does it reflect on him well or poorly, though? That's sort of the question. We'll pick that up after. If you haven't heard, breaking news on the Red Sox. The punishment is in. You'll hear that in the update. And then right back to you. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.